bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
We got a day game in Chicago. It's Thursday afternoon. Orioles here today looking for a second consecutive victory. I have not been able to say that for a while. Last night, a big win as they ended an overall a six-game losing streak, ending an 11-game road losing streak, and Dylan Bundy ending a personal two-game losing streak. So, yeah, that was a good win in that game last night. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
We got anything since 2 hours ago?
I assume against the left-hander, Seth Smith might not have played anyways, but has he progressed physically at all?
I haven't got the update day. Richie's still treating him, but hopefully he'll be, you know, if he's not available tomorrow, then we probably have to think about DL because of 3 days. This is the third day. So hopefully we can stay away from that. You know, I'm hoping to get some good news today, but we'll probably we'll see if he's available today. Don't know yet.
You just said he's not 100% kind of generally. Is there anything, can you tell us what specifically?
He's got some back strain, lower. He's having some, actually, I think it's more mid back than his lower back. Just had some just general lack of range of motion.
Doubt you've heard much since last night about him, but I mean, is there a plan yet for Chris Davis in terms of?
We'll see him tomorrow when we get back. But right now it's just inactivity is the best thing, and it's not a whole lot of. I mean, there's some treatment they'll start tomorrow, but I know he's had a lot of trouble sleeping the last couple of nights with not a whole lot of comfort there. Anybody ever had one of those? Ever had an intercostal strain? You don't remember them years ago. I wonder what's different about why you see them now. Because you never saw that injury years ago. I think it has to do with so many reps they have hitting. The guys hit all the time. Because back then, there wasn't a whole lot of people available to throw. You know, the coaches didn't throw. Now these guys have, you know, machines and batting practice pitchers. I don't know what it is. I'd like to know what. I'd like to ask the doctor that, why we're seeing that so much more. Mike Wright's unavailable today. He had some shoulder soreness after the game last night. So we'll see how that goes. That was a little bit alarming because that was with 3 days off. It's one of the reasons why I didn't pitch him the day before. But we'll see how that is tomorrow. Dr. Jacobs will see him tomorrow when we get back. See if what we're dealing with there.
Buck, do you see his strides in his pitching this year? Has he taken a step forward?
Well, I think early on in the season, you know, in Norfolk, no. You know, it was, you could tell, that's kind of normal for guys when they come out of spring, don't make a club or get sent down. There's a little bit of maybe disappointment. But since then, Mike's pitched well. You know, and he's done well for us out of the pen statistically. You know, he got hit pretty good yesterday. Just, we were real lucky that a lot of those balls were at people. The guys made some good plays on them. I thought he was fortunate to have the two innings with, and I, you know, looking back on it, he said he threw the one slider to Abreu and then said he didn't feel very good after that in the second inning.
Buck, it was a loud one for five for Machado last night. Is that an indication that some things are coming for him maybe?
You know, I got to tell you, I think Manny swung the bat pretty good since he's come back, and it's really, I don't know, not disheartening, just disappointing that he's hitting balls hard and they're catching them because, you know, those balls, you know, it's just it's the baseball gods haven't been kind to him. So it really challenges your, you know, your constitution a little bit when you're squaring balls up and they're catching them. And the thing you got to stay away from is trying to hit balls where they can't catch them over the fence. He's had a really good approach the last two or three days, and the challenge is to stay with it because he's hitting some really tough luck here. That was a three- or four-hit game last night that just didn't work out. Of course, I tell you, if you go back through that game last night, how many hard outs there were, that's about as many hard outs as you'll see in a game. So when someone tells me that Mike Wright pitched, I mean, if you go back through his outing, I mean, there was some loud noise. And the same way with, you know, I think we had eight balls hit hard that were caught last night. They had like seven. It's not a fair game. And then you have a game where, and then, you know, Trey hits one off the end of the bat. Trey didn't really hit a ball hard last night. You know, he had a flare over here. He had a rollover that they were playing him over in the hole. He had a, I mean, if you compare Manny's, the balls Manny hit hard compared to a guy like Trey, and one guy's got three or four hits, another guy doesn't have but one. I mean, crazy game.
But we all know there's no crying in baseball. In a moment, Jim Hunter will visit with Dan Duquette when we continue with our warm-up show right after this.
On a warm and sunny day in Chicago, Orioles and White Sox close out this four-game series. Birds looking for a win to earn a four-game series split. We'll chat with Dan Duquette after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles in Chicago today to close out the road trip, and the Birds are looking for back-to-back wins before heading home for a seven-game homestand. We're joined now from Baltimore by the Orioles Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations, Dan Duquette. Dan, yesterday the Orioles completed the first-year player draft. 41 players, you got 21 new pitchers, 20 position players. Now, I know only time will tell, but what's the overview of the organization about these 41 players drafted by the Orioles and the infusion of talent you're bringing in?
Well, hopefully we have a good draft. I think everybody on the day that they pick them and shortly after thinks they have a good draft, and then it takes a little time to figure out if it actually comes out that way. But we had an extra pick, number 74, which was a competitive balance pick. In the past, we traded some of those picks. This time, we held on to it. And we picked up a good left-handed pitcher, Lauzer, from Xavier in Cincinnati. And, you know, the interesting thing about him is he led the Cape Cod League last year in strikeouts, struck out 54, and he walked just four, which is a pretty impressive walk-strikeout ratio. I think some of your top pitchers in the big leagues at the very height of their career have a 1-9 walk-strikeout ratio. I think that's what Pedro Martinez had during his good years up in Boston. But anyway, we like Lauzer. We like his stuff. He's got three pitches, and, you know, a left-handed pitcher with three pitches with that kind of swing-and-miss stuff should be real additive to our organization. Our top pick was another left-handed pitcher, D.L. Hall. And a lot of the draft pundits, a lot of the experts, they compare him to Scott Kazmir, the left-hander that the Mets took originally, and he went to Tampa. We saw a lot of him when he was in Tampa, and recently he's been with the Dodgers. He's pitched for Cleveland. But he's had a good major league career. He's a left-hander, this kid, Hall, who has a good fastball. Control well above average. He's got an excellent curve and advanced changeup. So I don't remember drafting a left-handed pitcher that's this advanced at this point in his career in a long time. We drafted Danny Plesac with the Brewers years ago when I was in Milwaukee. And Danny Plesac was a little bit bigger than this kid. He didn't have the changeup. And Danny ended up having a good career. And then we signed another left-handed pitcher when I was with the Brewers, Juan Nieves, who ended up pitching a hitter over there in Milwaukee. And he's a little taller than this kid. But, again, he doesn't have the velocity that Hall has, nor does he have the off-speed pitch. So it'll be interesting to see how Hall does as he goes along. He's got some really good equipment coming into the Major League Baseball. So we'll see how he does. And then the kid we took from Canada, the shortstop, this kid's got some good ability. And, of course, you always need good shortstops. And we like what he's doing. Then we got some other good arms up and down the draft. Gary Racer and his guys usually find some talent later in the draft. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, four of the top five picks were pitchers, and I know you're a believer that you can never have enough pitching. And right now, the starting rotation with the Orioles has been a bit of a challenge. These players you took are for the future. What are you looking at to help fortify this rotation here for the 2017 team, or do you trust the players that you have that they'll eventually pitch to their track records?
Well, you know, when we put together our team this year, Jim, we were counting on Kevin Gausman and Chris Tillman to be both part of the team. You know, last year they put up four WAR, each of them. And Tillman was a stopper in the second half of the year. Gausman was one of the best pitchers in the league. So we're certainly dependent on them to come back and pitch like they've established that they can pitch in the big leagues. And the same with Evaldo Jimenez. He's inconsistent, but the last few times we put him into the bullpen, he's been able to come out and pitch effectively. So we're going to need those guys to, you know, carry the weight that we're expecting them to carry when we put the team together. They are top two starters, and hopefully Tillman will start today by giving us a outing. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having Zach Britton rejoin the team. There's a guy that was one of the top relievers in the American League. But, you know, we're going to have to find a solution and have Gausman, Tillman, Jimenez pitch better than they pitched. And we're also going to have Zach Britton come back to fortify our club. Because, I mean, that's how our club is designed. I mean, we're paying these guys a lot of money to be effective major league pitchers. We've gone through a stretch here with our pitching. I can't remember having a this rough a stretch with pitching in quite a long time. But I'm hopeful that we can get the starting pitchers that we have on the big club straightened out and pitching better.
Orioles close out the road trip today in Chicago. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back in Chicago in the loss column again here this afternoon. So the Orioles wind up losing 3 out of 4 against the White Sox, and they lose 7 of the 8 games on the road trip. And with Jim Hunter, I'll tell you what, Jim, the game today, the Orioles were not charged with any official errors, but there was a mental blunder that led to a big inning for the White Sox, and it came in the bottom of the 6th inning. Davidson began it with a double, and then Sanchez, he drew a base on balls, all against Chris Tillman. And then with Kevin Smith up there to lay down a bunt, it's exactly what he did. But then the Orioles, with a lack of communication, because somebody missed a sign, on a ball bunted toward third base, Manny Machado went back to the bag at third base, so he did not go after the bunt. Chris Tillman, it looked as though he was heading behind the plate to cover behind the plate, and he never went for the bunt. And the result was an infield single on what should have been an out, and it turned the entire inning around.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the least in that situation, Joe, is you need to know which play is on. Now, it's one of two. Either Machado's going to charge, and the shortstop, in this case today it was Ruben Tejada, they call that the wheel play. He would go to third base to cover, and then if Mancini's charging from first, Scope would go to first base to cover, and they would leave second base uncovered. But if Machado's going to hang back, and it's strategy because they're hoping that the bunt would go back to the pitcher and the pitcher could take it and fire to third, then you have a chance to get him. However, it's either one of two. And it looked like, I agree with you, that after watching the bunt, since neither went after the ball, Machado immediately broke back to the base, and he was in on the grass. And Tillman just let it roll by as if he was expecting Manny there. That just can't happen because it was a gift out. And eventually Smith did come around the score because he was on that, loaded the bases with nobody down. And it's a big difference in a tie game where you have a 1-1 game, second and third and one down, versus bases loaded and nobody down. It set up the White Sox for a big inning, and that's exactly what they got.
Well, it did because Smith, instead of being an out, he got the first base. So bases loaded. The next hitter, Willie Garcia, he struck out. Out number one. Now, had they gotten Smith, that would have been the second out. They then could have walked Melky Cabrera with first base open to go after the right-hand hitter in Tim Anderson. But that's not the way it worked out. And eventually Cabrera with a big two-run single that put the White Sox ahead to stay. So just a bad situation, and the White Sox able to take advantage. Now, Chris Tillman did battle today. Second inning, had the bases loaded, gave up 3 hits. There were 2 outs, but Tillman got a big out. And the Orioles right-hander again. Look at third, he delivers. Boom! And a miss, he got him. And he got him on a high fastball. So Tillman with the bases loaded against Garcia on 3 pitches. That's a good idea. Yeah, then in the third, he gave up 2 more hits, but again, Tillman got a big out.
Another 1-2 pitch to Frazier. Swing and a miss, he got him. He got a fastball by him. Frazier slams the bat. So Tillman gets another big strikeout. The last 2 innings, he has ended the inning with a strikeout to Stram runners.
Yeah, but by then, Tillman had thrown 68 pitches in only 3 innings. Now, Davidson came up as the leadoff hitter against Tillman in the 4th.
Here's the 1-0, swinging a high fly ball, deep left field. He's done it again. Towards the corner it goes, and that ball is gone. Matt Davidson You talk about all or nothing. Well, he is getting the all. He has now homered in four consecutive games, his 14th on the year, and it's a 1-0 White Sox lead.
Well, the Orioles came back, though they tied the game against left-hander David Holmberg in the fifth inning. A walk to Scope to get the inning started. Then Castillo a single, and eventually, after a pitching change, Caleb Joseph with a bloop double to pick up an RBI to make it a 1-1 game. And then came that fateful sixth inning. A double by Davidson to get the inning started, and then Sanchez got a walk, and then Smith trying to bunt. We talked about it. Nobody went after the bunt. It went for an infield single. Bases loaded, and then with one out, Melky Cabrera got the big hit.
Tillman stays from the stretch. The right-hander's pitch, swinging a ground ball, base hit up the middle, right past Tillman. Here's Davidson to score. Sanchez coming around, he will score. It is a two-run single for Cabrera, and the White Sox have the lead 3-1. So he got the ground ball, but he hit it right through the middle for a base hit. And Chicago now in front 3-1.
And that's when Tillman would leave the game. Yakabonis came on to pitch, and he couldn't find the plate. He walked a couple of hitters. Eventually, he walked a man with the bases loaded. Yakabonis came out of the bullpen. He faced four batters, and he walked three of them. And the White Sox, well, they got enough in that sixth inning. Their bullpen eventually got the job done. We saw four relievers come in to pitch. And eventually, the closer, David Robertson, came in just to get some work with a 5-1 lead. Castillo, the leadoff hitter in the ninth inning. There's a high fly ball, left center, backing up Garcia, backing up, way back there, David Bye-Bye. Castillo is homered for the second consecutive game. This one is a solo to make it 5-2. After that, one out, Caleb Joseph, he singled. And so the Orioles needed one more base runner to have the tying run come up to hit. But Rickard struck out, and then Jones came up to hit, and the game ended on a ball that was in the dirt. And Robertson is ready again. He delivers, swing and a miss, and the ball was in the dirt. Smith will dig it out. He'll go to first base to complete the strikeout. Ball game is over. Road trip is over. And the Orioles are coming home, but in the loss column again. So let's get the heck out of here. Chicago wins 3 out of 4. And now the Orioles come home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals and to try to find a way to, at home, somehow stay alive. And Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.